There was a man that lived in a certain town. And at one day as he was living there, all of a sudden this announcement came. The race is coming. Come and join the race. And it seemed like after he heard that, he kept seeing all these flyers and advertisements. He'd look in the newspaper and there'd be a full page advertisement saying, "The race is coming. Come and run in the race." He'd turn on the television and more advertisements, worse than the political advertisements that happen every 4 years. And everywhere he looked, this race. But this man did not pay much attention to it. He said, "That's for somebody else." But there were other people. Some people started to prepare. Some started to train and train hard so that they could run the race well. And then there were some that said, "We're just going to put in just enough so we can run the race, but just try to finish." The day kept coming. The advertisements kept coming up everywhere. He saw it, and he started to change his mind. He said, "Well, maybe I will race. Possibly. I'll think about it. I'll decide as the race comes. I'm not prepared right now, but maybe I'll run this race. But he saw that everybody was talking about this race. Should we be a part of it? Should we not? Some people started to scoff. "This is so stupid. Why would you even be a part of it? It's going to be a waste of energy. Think of all the time and effort you're going to have to put in preparing for it. Think of all the time that you're going to have to spend running. Why are you going to do this?" But this did not sway the man. He said, "You know what? That's not a reason not to run this race." Finally, the day comes. The man says, "You know what? I'm going to wear my running shoes. I'm going to go dress. I'm going to make a decision once I finally get there. When I get to the race, I think I'm going to run." He gets down to the starting line, and it is quite a scene. The whole town seems to be there. Some have come just to watch. Some have come just to see if it's going to be a big failure. All these people that think they can run this race, they're going to pull a hamstring. They're not going to make it. I want to see them all fail. But many of them come to run. As the man looks over the crowd, he sees that some are ready to run. They have all the gear. They've got their singlet. They've got their short shorts. They've got the right running shoes, the perfect dry fit socks and clothes and everything. They're ready to run. Some people just seem to have just the right shoes. Some he looks at and says, "You've got all the wrong stuff for this. Are those gardening shoes that you're wearing?" But everyone seems excited to run the race. So the man says to himself, "I'm going to run. This could be fun." But before the gun goes off, he starts getting nervous. He sees that it's about to happen. "Am I ready for this? Have I prepared enough? But it's time to run, and I'm going to figure it out." And finally, the gun goes off, and the race begins. And the man crosses the starting line, and as he's running, he looks, and he sees all these people that have taken just a few steps past the starting line, and they begin to celebrate. "I have run the race. I am a race runner. Look at how we've done." People fall on their knees. "It is so wonderful. Look at us. We have run the race." And he sees spectators that are watching, making fun of all these people, saying, "What are they doing? They haven't run the race. They've just crossed the starting line. This is foolishness." And the man, as he's stopping and looking at all these people that are just cheering because they've crossed the starting line and taken a few steps, he ponders, "Isn't there more to this? Isn't there more to this race? Isn't the finish line further away?" And the man looks around at some of the other people looking at this and says, why don't we keep running? There's more to this race than just crossing the starting line. The finish line is still a ways away. And we can get to the finish line at the right time. So this group that this man talks to, they decide, yes, let's keep running. So they begin to run. And they keep running. And they keep going. And as they run, they realize that they're given more and more energy as they go. That it becomes more and more fun as they keep running. They get that runner's high that some people get. They start enjoying, even though that there are hills and there are difficult times in the run, that they know that there are downhills at some point. They realize that they have enough energy to be able to make it. And the man realizes that this whole time he's been prepared. He was being prepared for this race his whole life. That even though he didn't know it, he was being prepared. Now the race is like the Christian life. And the starting line is what happens when we accept Christ. We are called to keep running the race, not to just cross the starting line, not to accept Christ and just be okay with that and say, we've gotten what we need out of this. But that there's so much more fun, so much more that can be given by God. And there are three types of people in this story, aren't there? There are the people on the sidelines, the spectators that just want to watch and see what happens to everyone else, that doesn't want to participate, that doesn't want to be a part of it, but just wants to watch. And in that crowd, in those spectators, are those that are going to scoff and say, you know what, this is foolishness. What are you thinking? Why would you want to be a part of this? Even though they've come to the race to watch and to be a part of it on their own terms. If you are one of those people, it's time to join the race, to cross that starting line, to accept Christ, and to see the energy that will be given to you through the Holy Spirit. It's time to take that step. Then there are those that are the short runners. And we've all known them, haven't we? The people that cross the starting line, that accept Christ and say, I've gotten what I need. Because it's all about what I want. As I fondly like to say, people get their get out of hell free card. And they say, this is all I wanted. I just wanted protection for the future. I just wanted to make sure that I had what I thought I needed, but miss out on the change that was meant for their life. Because when they kept running, there was so much more that they could have. Then there's the race runners. The people that I think are what we're called to be. We're called to be the people that are willing to run the race. Even though we know that there's going to be times where it's going to be hard. That we know it's more than just crossing the starting line. That there's more to this Christian life. When we read the scriptures, we see so much of what we're called to, of how our life is to be changed, transformed by God. And I want to have that. The life that is given. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and life to the fullest. That there's so much more here and now that God is willing and ready to give. To gain the fullness of the race is to gain the fullness of life before we're with God forever in eternity. Now, the runners are who Paul is speaking to in our Romans passage today. Because, see, what the idea of running is something that we are actively doing, that we are living for the Lord. It's not something that we just stop and cheer about and say, I've gotten what I need and I'm done with you. Now, first, I want us to remember what season we're in. We're starting today. And what season is that? Advent, the first Sunday of Advent. And what is Advent for? What are we called to do in Advent? Wait, expectantly wait, and prepare for the coming of Christ. Now, this coming of Christ, we might think, is the coming of the birth of Christ, when we celebrate on Christmas Day. That Jesus is born, that he comes into the world. But that's not all. Because we're supposed to prepare our hearts, our minds, and our soul for Christ's coming. We remember how he came 2,000 years ago to begin his kingdom reign. But we're also supposed to look forward to the fulfillment of his kingdom reign when he comes again with his second coming. And so there's two ways that we look. We look back and remember that Christ came and his kingdom began, but we also look forward and prepare our hearts for the kingdom that will be fulfilled when he comes again. That's what our Micah passage was about. A passage about the plowshares being, or the swords being hammered out into plowshares. That there being a time of peace that we're looking forward to, that we expectantly wait for, hoping that it will come sooner. You know, we speak about this every Sunday in the liturgy. When do you know when we do that? During communion is one spot. What do we all say? Christ has died. Christ is risen. We remember every week that Christ will come again. We remind ourselves. We preach to ourselves that he is coming and he will make everything right. That even in the midst of the hardships that we face or the difficulties, we know that he is coming back and he will make everything right. That there will be true peace. Not just the fake peace that we say, oh, well, we're not fighting right now. But true peace, where everyone is truly together and not wanting to fight. That Christians will be there and God will make the place right. We also pray about this every week. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Now this has many different aspects to it. Thy kingdom come right now, that your kingdom will see glimpses of your kingdom, will know that it is real and here. But we're also praying, Jesus, come back. Your full kingdom come and come soon. Come quickly, Lord. Come tomorrow, because we know that it'll be, that the world will be made right. We pray about this and think about it every week when we pray during our communion service. Your kingdom come. And you know what? Each one of us needs to adhere to what Paul says. We need to wake up from our slumber. Because the truth is, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. This preparation that we spend during Advent is important. Because we are one day closer to when the Lord comes back. If he comes back tomorrow, great. If he comes back after our lifetime, that's fine too. We don't know. But Jesus says that we should be ready for it. But Paul does give the runners, the people that want to keep going for the Lord, that want to live for the Lord, some tips on how to run. He starts out by saying, We need to let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. And he goes through and he says, look at all of these laws that have been given. Love fulfills all of the laws. And really, Jesus tells us that love the Lord your God and love your neighbor fulfills all 10 of the commandments. Paul here is focusing on the last 6 commandments, saying if we love our neighbor, if we really truly are out there loving, that we will fulfill the law. It's interesting how the New Testament puts a positive spin on the law instead of a negative spin. It doesn't say do not. The Old Testament tells us do not murder, do not covet, do not commit adultery, do not lie. In the New Testament, we see more of the sense of love. Go and do. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord. Be active in what you're doing. We need to care about others. We need to not turn a blind eye when things are there that inconvenience us. Let us do what is best. Let us care about others, even when it's not easy or when it's inconvenient. It's hard at times, isn't it? And it means that sometimes we'll have to give some things up. But we are called to do what is right and best, not what is easy and convenient. About a month ago, I went to Target to pick up a few things. And I bought these boxes that I had to, some plastic boxes to put some of the old kids' clothes into. And in it, to fit everything into my cart, I bought some cereal and I put it inside the box. And I put the tops on top of it. I went through the line. I said, you know, it's a lot easier to, if you just scan the boxes and not have to take them out. They're too bulky. I said, okay. I walk all the way downstairs, get to the car, and there are the cereal boxes that I was not charged for. And I said, you know what? It would be really easy just to drive away. They don't care. Target's a big company. What are they going to care about $2-3 boxes of cereal? But I stopped and I said, you know what? What is the right thing to do? And this is an easy example, right? I said, okay, I'll walk back up. I walked into the store with product, purchased it, and then walked right back out. Which I was like, if somebody's watching the video camera on this, they'd probably find this pretty funny. Now, that's a simple example, and I tell it to you because it's a way of practicing doing what is right and best so that when the times where the big examples of it, the big times that you can do what is right and best, you're prepared for it. You can take the time when you see someone hurting or you know that you need to step into the middle of a really sticky situation, a really difficult situation. We need to be practicing in the mundane so that the times, the few times that we have real moments to share the love of Christ, to love our neighbor, we can do it. But running the race also means that we don't do what would hurt us or what takes away life. The things that Paul brings up, debauchery, dissension, when we break things up because we think it's going to be, we want to get revenge. We want to do something to someone else. We want to make it more difficult for them. But when does that actually bring you life? Maybe for a moment you feel really good about it. Ha ha, I got him back. But after a while, it always descends, doesn't it? You realize it hurts you more than when you try to bring unity. Jealousy. Has jealousy ever added a minute to your life? Has it ever really been good for you? The reason that we keep running is not because of you. You don't have the energy because you have trained the best. The energy you have, the ability to keep running the race, is because Christ gives you the energy that you need. as Paul says, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be the one that gives you the strength. The Holy Spirit who is living within you gives you the ability to live for the Lord. He will protect you and give you the ability to continue the race. This race is real. Each one of us have the opportunity to keep running, to cross that starting line by accepting Christ, and to keep running until God calls us to cross that finishing line, to be with Him for eternity. Are you willing to keep running the race? To keep living for Him? Don't stop before you even get started. Run the race, realizing the Lord has a great plan for you and that your life is before you to live for Him, to prepare for when we are with Him for eternity, when we will be able to live fully in the way that He has called us to live. Let us pray. Father God, as we come into this season of Advent, let us prepare our minds, our hearts, and our soul for You. Let us realize that Your coming has happened and will happen, that Your coming has meant so much in this time, that it gives us the Holy Spirit to live with us, to give us strength, to give us power, to encourage us to do what is right. And Father, I pray that we trust in You and that we do what is right because we know that You are calling us to it. We pray in Your Son's name. Amen.